So we continue in Ezekiel in chapter 21. And we'll read verses 1 through 32. Ezekiel 21, 1 through 32. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 1. These are the words of our God. They are inerrant and infallible, and they are sufficient for us. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, and speak against the sanctuaries, and prophesy against the land of Israel. And say to the land of Israel, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am against you, and I will draw my sword out of its sheath and cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. Because I will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked, therefore my sword will go forth from its sheath against all flesh from south to north. Thus all flesh will know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword out of its sheath. It will not return to its sheath again. As for you, son of man, groan with breaking heart and bitter grief, groan in their sight. And when they say to you, Why do you groan? You shall say, Because of the news that is coming. And every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it comes and it will happen, declares the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus says the Lord, say, a sword sharpened and also polished, sharpened to make a slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Or shall we rejoice, the rod of my son despising every tree? It is given to be polished that it may be handled. The sword is sharpened and polished to give it into the hand of the slayer. Cry out and wail, son of man, for it is against my people. It is against all the officials of Israel. They are delivered over to the sword with my people. Therefore strike your thigh, for there is a testing. And what if even the rod which despises will be no more, declares the Lord God. You therefore, son of man, prophesy and clap your hands together and let the sword be doubled the third time. The sword for the slain, it's the sword for the great one slain, which surrounds them. That their hearts may melt and many fall at all their gates. I have given the glittering sword. Ah, it is made for striking like lightning. It is wrapped up in readiness for slaughter. Show yourself sharp. Go to the right, set yourself. Go to the left, wherever your edge is appointed. I will also clap my hands together, and I will appease my wrath. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, As for you, son of man, make two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to come. Both of them will go out of one land and make a signpost. Make it at the head of the way to the city. You shall mark a way for the sword to come to Rabbah of the sons of Ammon, and to Judah and to fortified Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He shakes the arrows. He consults the household idols. He looks at the liver. Into his right hand came the divination. Jerusalem, to set battering rams, to open the mouth for slaughter, to lift up the voice with a battle cry, to set battering rams against the gates, to cast up ramps, to build a siege wall. And it will be to them like a false divination in their eyes. They have sworn solemn oaths. But he brings iniquity to remembrance, that they may be seized. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, and that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your deeds your sins appear, because you have come to remembrance, you will be seized with the hand. And you, O slain, wicked one, the prince of Israel, whose day has come, in the time of the punishment of the end. Thus says the Lord God, remove the turban, and take off the crown. This will no longer be the same. Exalt that which is low and abase that which is high. A ruin, a ruin, a ruin I will make it. this also will be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. And you, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God concerning the sons of Ammon and concerning their reproach, and say, a sword is drawn, polished for the slaughter, to cause it to consume that it may be like lightning. While they see for you false visions, while they divine lies for you to place you on the necks of the wicked, you who are slain, whose day has come in the time of the punishment of the end, return it to its sheath in the place where you were created, in the land of your origin. I will judge you. I will pour out my indignation on you. I will blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and I will give you into the hand of brutal men skilled in destruction. You will be fuel for the fire. Your blood will be in the midst of the land. You will not be remembered. For I, the Lord, have spoken. That is the word of the Lord. If you remember the last Lord's Day at the very end of chapter 20, the Lord, through the prophet, brought up the destruction of the forest, which we heard was concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. That's what it pointed to. And he continues in talking about that in the first five verses of our passage this evening, the destruction of Jerusalem. Yahweh is against Jerusalem for their idolatry and their false prophets, as we've heard many times before. They're not listening to God's word. They're not hearing. And so judgment is coming to Jerusalem. And it is great because the Lord, just like throughout all His word, teaches us how we must be towards such things, in our thoughts and our emotions even. The Word of God teaches us how we are to have, what we are to be in our emotions. And He teaches Ezekiel here what he is to be towards this judgment. Verses 6 and 7. He says, as for you, son of man, groan with breaking heart and bitter grief. Groan in their sight. And when they say to you, why do you groan? You shall say, because of the news that is coming. And every heart will melt, and all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it comes, and it will happen, declares the Lord God. He teaches us about our emotions and commands us throughout the Scriptures. Here he did for Ezekiel. And then through verse 17, very emphatically, Yahweh says again, the sword is coming to judge, to slaughter the Lord's people, Israel, Judah, Jerusalem. And remember, Yahweh is always, and He promised this long ago, Yahweh is always faithful. Always faithful to keep His promises. Even the ones for cursings and judgment. And who is the instrument Yahweh uses in this judgment to Jerusalem? It is the king of Babylon, it says. Does the king of Babylon come himself as a righteous one to judge? No, he does not. But he is the instrument of the Lord Yahweh. He comes wickedly to destroy as an instrument of the Lord because he comes practicing himself divination, partaking in idolatry, verse 21, because Jerusalem's transgressions appear before all. And then the prince, it talks about verse 25, which is Zedekiah. It's talking about Zedekiah, the king of Judah. He will be judged. And a promise, verse 27, a great promise of the coming Messiah, Jesus, who will again take up that crown at the appointed time. And He will be the King of Kings who will reign forever with the crown that was taken off Zedekiah's head to be placed upon His and His alone. As we've heard already, Jesus to be the forever King this day. And then the final part of the chapter, we find the promise of the destruction of the Ammonites, which happened 5 years after the destruction of Jerusalem by the king of Babylon. They're judged because of their reproach upon Israel and blaspheming Yahweh. Over and over in Jeremiah and over in Ezekiel, we have heard why Jerusalem and Judah were judged and why they are going to be judged if we were putting ourselves in Ezekiel's place here. Why they were promised destruction is because they did not listen to the word of Yahweh, and because they did not listen, they did not repent of their sins, turning back to Him. But instead they had deaf ears and hardened hearts. And so, beloved, as we consider Jerusalem and Judah, and we consider us as those who are the Israel of God, the church of God, we are called to see their actions, what they did in their sin, but also their inactions and not repenting, not turning to the Lord. Consider our own hearts, examine our own hearts, turn to the Lord who is not only holy and just, but a loving God who receives us and who promises, of course, to receive us in Christ Jesus alone, by faith alone, to come confessing our sins. And He says, of course, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so we must now turn to the Lord who reigns now over all, who is the Messiah King, forever King, sovereign over all creation. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we're thankful. Thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is not as frail and foolish as we desire in our desire for a king or a president or congressmen to rule over us. Perhaps we are like Israel and Judges and Samuel, who were desiring for a king. And they wanted somebody who they wanted to choose. Father, there is no way that we could have chosen He who is the forever King, the great King, Jesus Christ, who is the King of all kings. We could say, of course, the Prince of all princes, as the passage talks about here, the Prince, Zedekiah. Zedekiah was wicked. He did not listen to You. He did not listen to Jeremiah. He did not listen to Ezekiel. The people did not listen. And Father, if we come here Lord's Day after Lord's Day and we hear Your word and we don't listen to You, we will be and become just like Israel and Judah and Jerusalem. Destroyed, judged forever. Receiving the pains of hell forever. Because of our sin, because of our idolatry, because of our blaspheming hearts, which often take Your name upon our lips, and yet we do not honor You with our lives. And it's just an act, it's just an outward, external thing, and so we're much like the Pharisees. Father, may that not be any of us here. Rather, that we would be, as we learn from this passage, that we would be learners from those who have gone before us and their mistakes and their sins, their wickedness and their idolatries and divinations and blasphemies. And that we would honor God with our lips and all that we say, and even in our thoughts and our emotions. That when we see sin, that we would grieve and have hatred and sorrow over that sin and even our own sin. That we would turn from that sin or even call others to turn from their sin in a spirit of gentleness as You command. And turn unto You. And call people to turn unto You. That we would bear each other's burdens. As the church, and as ourselves, we would turn to You and love You above all others. Father, may we not be those who love and bless the creation, when You alone, the Creator, are blessed forever. We confess that when we are called to worship in spirit and in truth, that often our hearts are far from you and perhaps thinking of other things, thinking of our work, thinking of something at home, perhaps a struggle that we've had with our family. And our hearts are far from you in the truth. We worship seemingly with the truth according to your word, and yet we confess that our worship is not perfect. And we confess that going through the motions is not right worship. It's not God-honoring worship. And so we come pleading your Son that you would receive our worship this day and the rest of our lives for the sake of Christ alone. That He who continually and unceasingly prays for us and intercedes for us would perfect our worship, and even this prayer that we're praying now would perfect it. That we can say at the end the Amen. That you would hear us because of your Son and answer us according to your will. Father, we pray that we would be cleansed of our sin. We pray that we would be turned from those little sins that we don't know that we're committing. And little sins to us, of course. And the sins that we see that we are committing, that we would have such a hatred of them and sorrow over them and grief over them that we would turn quickly to the open arms of your Son and the open arms of you, Father, for we are your children. And so, Father, as we do pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you would hear our prayers and answer according to your will for the name of the sake of your name and your glory. Amen.